Your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Jonah, chapter number 3. Jonah, chapter number 3. And we'll read verse number 10 down through chapter number 4. The whole chapter number 4. There's only 12 verses altogether. Jonah, chapter 3. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. That's in the Old Testament. All them little books there bunched up together. Jonah chapter number 3. All right, let's begin reading in verse 10 and we'll read down through chapter number 4. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for letting us be here today and the many blessings you've given to us. And Lord, as we come today, I just ask that God, you would speak to our hearts from your word. God, you know what we all stand in need of here today. I pray, God, that the presence of the Holy Spirit would be real in our hearts, in our lives, that you'd open up our eyes and the ears and our heart of understanding. I pray, God, you'd speak to us. I pray you'd help us as we meet here together today to hear thy word. Lord, I pray to be filled with thy Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for that unction from on high. Help me to say everything you'd have me to say and nothing you wouldn't. And God, just do in our hearts that which would be most pleasing unto thee. God, I come needy today, asking for thy help, and we'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to tell you just a little bit this morning about how the Lord laid this message on my heart. I had not been studying out of the book of Jonah this past week. I really had something else in my mind I'd been reading about and studying about, but yesterday, as I've already told you, I was out in the garden early, and I was over there picking beans and getting ready for the day, and I was taking a little break, and Dad had planted sunflower seeds, throughout the garden there, and I had my back was hurting, and I was starting to sweat, and I had something to drink over there, so I went over to the edge of the garden and I sat down on a bucket, turned it upside down, and I was sitting there in the shadow of one of those big sunflowers. And Dad came walking down the driveway down there and he yelled over at me. He said, "What are you doing?" And I said, when he said that to me, I just thought of how I looked sitting there, and I said, "I'm like Jonah." I said, "I'm sitting under the shadow of a gourd," and I was sitting there under that sunflower, and I didn't really think anything about it. I yelled back at him. I said, "But I'm not pouting," because, you know, Jonah, he was pouting as he sat here under the shadow of this gourd. But all day long, I kept thinking about that. That kept coming back to my mind, and I began to think about Jonah and the gourd and rolling that over in my mind and thinking about that. And then when I came in at lunch, I got it out and I read some of the verses there and went back out and broke beans and thought about it a little bit more. And the Lord began to lay this message on my heart. You know, I thought about it like this. Actually, it seems like that the book of Jonah could have ended with chapter number 3. I mean, those of you that are familiar with the book of Jonah and you know the story there, and I think probably this morning most everybody is at least a little bit familiar with the book of Jonah. In Jonah chapter number 1, Jonah ran from the voice of the Lord. God told him he wanted him to go down to Nineveh and preach unto them. And of course, Jonah ran from God, and we know what happened there in chapter number 1. He was thrown overboard. He was swallowed by the great fish, and he was running from God. In chapter number 2, we find that Jonah repented. We find his prayer from the depths. We find that he calls out to God while he's still alive there in the belly of the great fish, the whale. And we see there his repentant attitude towards the idea of going to preach in Nineveh. And we see that he repented. And in chapter number 3, we see that Jonah returned. What the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 3, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh." And he went and he preached in Nineveh. And if you really study about it, you will find out that there in the book of Jonah is one of the greatest revivals of all time. I mean, you talk about God speaking to a nation from the king all the way down and them turning around and turning unto the Lord. So it would seem like that's what God wanted in the first place. And but I want to point out in chapter number 4 that although God got what he wanted out of Jonah and in the city of Nineveh, God is not done with Jonah. Because with the Lord, as we think about it this morning, God is not done with Jonah, because God is more interested with our heart than he is anything else. And God is not done with the heart of Jonah in chapter number 4. Proverbs 23 and verse number 26, the Bible says over there, "My son, give me thine heart." And so we're going to look this morning and see what's going on in the heart of Jonah. And I think we can see ourselves in there as well. But if I was given a title, and I do want to give a title to the message today, I want to preach on this. OMG, you know, the young people will understand that this morning. You see it all the time. They text to each other. Maybe not our young people. I sort of hope not. Or you see it on Facebook. And that's short for something. But I want to preach on this. OMG. Oh my gourd. Because I think that's what Jonah would have said. Oh my gourd. And I want us to look in the Word of God. God takes a simple little thing like a gourd to reveal to us in Jonah where his heart really was. And so I want to point out first of all today, number 1, there's OMG, there's the OMG of circumstantial blessing. The OMG of circumstantial blessing. Look in verse number 6 of chapter 4. The Bible said, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd that it may, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And so I believe Jonah would have said it like this: when the gourd came up over his head, he would have said it with a bit of pride, or being just absolutely tickled with something. He'd have said, "Oh my gourd, boy, I'm glad for that. Oh my gourd." After all, Jonah has endured and he's accomplished a great many things in his life. I've already gone over chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. He ran from God. He came back to God. He went and did what God asked him to do, and he had a great result from that. But nothing in the book of Jonah has made him glad except this gourd. He's got some problems still in his life. He cannot rejoice over the great revival. He cannot rejoice over the souls being saved. He cannot rejoice over being delivered from the whale's belly. He cannot rejoice of being called of God to go and do something for the Lord and all of these things. He cannot rejoice, but he's glad, the Bible says. In fact, it says he's exceeding glad of the gourd. And he's not glad at anything else, but he's glad over some little insignificant, something like a gourd. I was reading again this morning back in chapter number 2, and I believe there's some hints in there about Jonah's life, even when he, in his prayer life in chapter 2 and verse number 2, the Bible said that Jonah said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord." You know, the only reason he prayed anyway is because he's in trouble. You know, that's how a lot of Christians are today. I mean, they're walking maybe not near as close as they ought to be, but you let them get in trouble, I mean real deep trouble, and all of a sudden they can develop a prayer life in their life. And that's how Jonah was. You know, he's going along running from God, and then he finds himself at death's door, and he begins to pray by reason of his affliction. And he goes through a great trial there, and there's a great prayer in chapter number 2. But finally he comes down and he's wrestling with God, and he comes down to verse number 9 of chapter 2. He said, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I've vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And I believe that Jonah's attitude there in verse number 9, he said, "I will pay that I have vowed," is a, like a lot of people do, "Okay, God, if that's what it takes, I'll go and do what you've asked me to do. It's going to be necessary for me to get out of this situation. I'll pay that I vowed." Just a duty out of necessity. It doesn't make him glad. It does not make him rejoice. He's not glad at anything. He's not glad. I mean, most preachers today, if they could get a holy grunt every once in a while, they'd just be tickled absolutely to death. Jonah preached and the whole city turned and repented in sackcloth and ashes to God. I mean, you talk about, he ought to have been running laps around the city there saying, "Pray, praise God, look what the Lord has done." But you know what? It made Jonah mad. He went down there and preached yet 40 days, and God will overthrow the city. But they repented, and so God didn't overthrow the city. And it said in chapter 4 and verse number 1, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Let me say this morning that people who are circumstantially happy are not really happy. Let me explain what I mean by that. We've all seen people, and maybe somewhat you're this way yourself, but there's a lot of people in this world, they are circumstantially happy. They'll get up in the morning, and if the sun is shining and it's a beautiful day like it is today, you know what? They'll start out the day and they'll say, "Boy, I tell you what, today's going to be a great day. The sun's shining, the temperature's just right, I've got some plans, and it's not going to rain on my parade, and so today, because the sun's shining, I'm going to be happy." But you know, that same person could get up tomorrow morning and it be cloudy and black and raining outside, and they'd start out with a frown on their face, and they'll say, "You know what, it's going to be a terrible day. It's going to be a bad day." See, they're happy or sad based on the circumstances of their life. Somebody will come along, and I've heard people say, they'll get happy over it, just little old things that don't mean anything. I mean, there's a lot of people, they're happy. You know why they're happy today? They're happy because football season's getting ready to start. Man, I love football. You know, I can't wait. It's getting ready to start. And boy, we're going to watch games. And my team, I'm rooting for them. And we've got a new, you know, whatever. And you could feel a thousand things in there that seemingly makes people happy in their lives. Well, I'm happy today because I've got plans and I'm going out with my friends. Or I'm happy because I have a new, you just fill in the blank, whatever it is. I mean, we've all been there. We've all done that before. We've all had our heart set on something that we wanted and we desired and maybe we worked for and maybe we looked at it and thought about it and, you know, you finally get whatever it is and, now we're happy. Circumstances. Circumstantial happiness is what Jonah had in his life. But I want to point out something. If you're the kind of person that are just made happy or sad by circumstances, these people are usually very self-centered. And that's how Jonah was. If you look in verses 2 and 3 of chapter number 4, you'll see that the whole world in Jonah's life revolved around Jonah. Notice how many times he refers to himself in verses 2 and 3. Verse 1, he's angry. And then in verse 2, he said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. That's all, you know. My life. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. Lord, I told you this was going to happen. And here old Jonah is in his life and he's holding a one-man pity party. You ever had any of them kind of parties? I mean, just him and the Lord. And I can just see Jonah out there. And the Bible said that he went out and he made a booth to sit under. And he was just going to sit on there, out there on the side of that hill until God rained down fire and brimstone. That's what he wanted to see. And so he's mad about it. And he's having a pity party. And he's sitting out there by himself. And I can just see him out there arguing with God and walking around his new little booth that he's made, and he's going to live there and sit there every day till God does something, and he's arguing back and forth with the Lord. Well, God, I told you I was going to do this. And he walks around and there's that gourd growing up out of the ground. And he's arguing, God, I told you, and I'd just soon die. And oh, my gourd. Man. Boy, that's going to be perfect for my little booth. I mean, it's going to grow up there and it's already a good size and it's coming over and the shade's going to be just right. And here's my booth and here's my gourd. And where on one hand I was just mad as a bull, but now I'm happy over my gourd. You know, that's how we are a lot of times. And that's how Jonah was. And just, you know, it's just all about him and he's mad and everything. Let me share two things with you this morning. Number one, you'll never be happy in your life as long as it's all about you. And that's how a lot of people live their lives. The only people they know in the universe is themselves. They don't want to talk about nobody except their self. They don't want to think about nobody except their self. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You'll never be happy if life is just all about you. Second of all, this morning, you'll never be happy As long as your happiness is circumstantial, what I mean by that, it's just based on things. It's based on the weather. It's based on what comes and what goes in your life. Our happiness, our joy, our gladness, it needs to be deeper than things. It needs to be rooted in God. And Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8 and 10, he said, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength," not the joy of things. Not the joy of the weather, not the joy of the state of your checkbook, not the joy of the state of your car that you're driving, but the joy of the Lord. That's where your strength is going to be. We see, first of all, this morning, circumstantial blessedness. Second of all, this morning, there is the OMG of coronary blowout. Look in verses 8 and 10, what happens with Jonah. Now, Jonah, he's sort of like a firecracker. You light him up, he'll blow up. That's what he does. He's mad in verse number 1, and in verse number 7, in verse number 8, verse number 9, he's mad again. But we see here, there's the OMG of a coronary blowout. You ever talk to somebody and they say, "Calm down, don't have a coronary, that's a heart attack." Jonah's that type of person. The Bible said in verse 7, "But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" And it says in verse number 9, "And God said to Jonah, 'Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?'" Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And so one morning Jonah got up, and boy, one day he's saying, "Oh my gourd, I just love this thing. It is such a blessing to me in my life." But he got up one day and he seen that it was withering. And then it was dying and shriveling up, and he walked around in front of his little booth there, and he seen his gourd there, and he said, "Oh my gourd! Oh my gourd, what's happened to my gourd?" You know, there's a lot of people, that's how they live their lives. Have you ever seen or been in a little fender bender with somebody? And you've seen that maybe they jump out and they way overreact about their car. You ever seen anybody like that? I mean, you'd think they'd run over, that you'd run over their baby or something. I mean, they're all kinds of upset, and they're flipping out over a little old dent in something that's just a hunk of metal. I can see being upset sometimes, but I'm talking about people that just go way overboard, and you can tell that means a whole lot more to them than really it's worth getting upset over. I believe that's how Jonah was in his life. I thought about this. If Jonah was alive today, I just don't think I could be very close to Jonah. I don't think me and Jonah could be very good preacher friends. And I'll tell you why. I think in Jonah's life, there's way too much drama going on to suit me. I can't stand that. I mean, that's how Jonah is. Jonah in his life is so full of drama. It's all centered around him. He's in God's will. He's out of God's will. He's up. He's down. He's happy as a lark. He's mad as a bull. And it's over nothing. God said, "Do you really think you're doing well to be angry over that gourd?" See, God's trying to get at his heart. It's about her heart this morning. "You're mad over this gourd. Are you really doing well? Is it good for you to be mad over this gourd?" Jonah said, look there in verse number 1, and he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Some people argue with God. Jonah does. "Yeah, I'm justified in being mad over this thing. You know, just because somebody's a preacher, just because somebody is a missionary or in the work of the Lord, I want to tell you this morning, that does not mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean that they've got everything all together in their life and they don't have any problems and they don't have any hang-ups or anything like that. Jonah's got some heart problems in his life. I had a friend once upon a time, and he collected
A very high-end car, a foreign car, and I was talking to him about it, and he said, yeah, I like this certain car, and you know, they're nice, and you know, you buy them new, they're really expensive. He said, but they're really high maintenance. That's how Jonah was. We might say, oh, Jonah, he's a prophet, he's a man of God. We'll put him up on a pedestal, but I'll tell you this morning, Jonah was really high maintenance. That's how a lot of Christians are too. They're really high maintenance. They got issues, they got problems, they got things going on in their lives and all like that. Jonah not only had a self problem with I, me, my life, myself and all of that, but in verse number 9, and I've already read this, he had something else going on. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. He had what I call a self-justification problem. You know, a lot of people are like that. Yeah, I do well to be angry, and I'll tell you why I'm angry. I mean, they never do nothing wrong. It's always somebody else's fault, and there's always an excuse for whatever the behavior or the attitude might be. Oh, yeah, God, I do well to be angry. I'll tell you why. You know, we've all maybe been there, seen that, maybe in our own lives, in the life of others. It's like that song, I forget who it is, used to sing it, excuses, excuses, I hear them every day. Yeah, I got a good reason for why I am the way I am. Yeah, I've got a good reason why I'm not at church all the time. Yeah, I've got a good reason why I don't speak to that brother. Yeah, I've got a good, that's how Jonah was. Doest thou well to be angry? I do well to be angry, even unto death. God, I'm willing to die over this. You talking? He was a Baptist preacher. He's bullheaded. My goodness. I mean, that's how a lot of us are. Oh, we'd die over it. We're so convinced that we're right. We're willing to put our life on the line. Well, he wasn't too willing to die when he was really about to die. But as soon as he gets out of trouble, here he's talking big again, yeah, even unto dying. I'm right, God. I've got a good reason to be angry over this thing. I was thinking this morning about getting angry over things and mad, and how sometimes we go on in our lives. I was thinking about what are we going to do if we've, you know, always got a good reason to be angry. What could we do with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, where the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What are you going to do about that? God comes along and says, why are you mad? What are you going to say about that? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God said, put it away. Put away the anger, the malice, the bitterness, all that stuff, all those excuses. All we're doing in that is grieving the Holy Ghost of God. And my goodness, in this day and time where the world's dying and going to hell, the last thing we need to be doing is grieving the Holy Ghost of God where He cannot work and move in our midst. God said, put it away. Put it all away. There's the OMG of coronary blowout. Oh my God, I can't believe what's happened here. But number 3, there's this. There's the OMG of continuing bitterness. There's the OMG of continuing bitterness. Now, in chapter number 4, I don't know, you know, if you read this in Bible language, there's time goes by. I don't know how much time goes by. But for example, like in verse number 6, where it says, so Jonah was exceeding glad. Usually in the Bible, when a sentence starts out with the word so, and especially you find this in the book of Nehemiah, we'll not go there this morning, but it indicates that time it goes by. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Verse number 8, and it came to pass. More time. A few days, I don't know how long, but We see that time goes by. And then God speaks to Jeremiah in verse number 9. Not Jeremiah, Jonah. God speaks to Jonah in verse number 9. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even unto death." And here God begins to speak and Jonah says nothing else. That's significant. I believe it indicates a turnaround point in the life of Jonah. The Bible said in verse 10, "Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." There is the OMG of continuing bitterness. And I believe at this point in Jonah's life, any reference to the gourd would have come out sort of like this. "Oh, my gourd. We're going to talk about that again." You know, a continuing bitterness in his life. "Oh, my gourd. Yeah, let's bring that up again, Lord. I mean, God, aren't you ever going to let this thing go with the gourd?" And you can tell there is a bitterness in the life of Jonah over this matter of the gourd. And really, it was his attitude toward God saving the Ninevites. But God brought it all to a boiling point through this little gourd that he had planted in the ground. And Jonah's got a problem with what God's doing. You know, bitterness in our mouth. You eat something that's bitter. When our children were real small, we used to get a kick out of feeding them lemons. Yeah, I mean, you know how babies are, and maybe not as little as some we've got this one, you know, they get up and, "Yeah, you want to try this?" And put the lemon in their mouth and they'll take a bite and then they pucker up, you know. It just shows on your face. Or you get a cucumber out of the garden and you're really looking forward to that. And we had one a while back and I told Kim, I said, "The end of that is bitter. It's bitter and it shows on your face when you put something in your mouth that's really bitter." But I want to tell you this morning that when you've got bitterness in your heart as well, that it also, whether you realize it or not, it shows up on your face and in your life when there's bitterness down in there. And there was a continuing bitterness, I believe, in the life of Jonah. I mean, just think about your own life this morning as we come here together. Is there someone or something in your life that the very mention of it, them feelings that you maybe thought you'd dealt with and was over with and wasn't bothered with anymore, but I mean just some little thing can come along and remind you of something in your life, or somebody can mention somebody's name or something that has happened in the past, and that feeling comes up in you just out of nowhere. Sarcasm. I believe that's how Jonah was. "Oh, my gourd." Yeah. Anger, bitterness, wrath, frustration. I don't even want to talk about that. I'm over it, but I don't want to talk about it. That's how Jonah was with his gourd. And that's how a lot of us are in our lives. There's things in our life that we've never really, 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 truly let God have and give us victory over those things. We go to the Lord and we say, "Okay, God, I'm a big Christian. I can take care of that. Lord, help me," and all of that stuff. But just the mention of it, here it comes again. Bitterness, anger, sarcasm, strife, bad feelings. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15 talks about bitterness. Verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." He talks there about a root of bitterness. And he tells some things about that root of bitterness. He said, you better look diligently for it. You know, there may be something in your life this morning that you think you've dealt with, but actually it's still there. looking diligently. You thought, you know, that was in the past, but let it be mentioned in here, them feelings comes again, looking diligently. The Bible says might be something there you wasn't really aware of. He calls it a root of bitterness. A root is something that you don't see on the surface. It's something that's down underneath, hidden under the ground, under the dirt, but I'll tell you, it's there. You ever come along and had something in your yard, a weed, or maybe in your garden, and you got your hoe and you chopped it off, and you said, good riddance to you. That's done, and you go away and you forget about it. You come back to the next spot. There it is again. There's that same briar. There's that same weed. There's that same vine. You know why it's back? Because all you done was chop the top of it off. You didn't deal with the root of the thing. That's how we are with things in our lives sometimes. We just keep chopping the top off. God wants to get to the root of the matter. It's deep. Here's something else it said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. The root of bitterness springing up. That's how it does. It springs up. I thought I'd dealt with it. Thought I'd forgot about it. Here it comes again. Here it comes again. It'll do it right on and on and on until you deal with the root of the matter. And then he said also about the root of bitterness. He said, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It's not just something that'll bother you. It'll bother everybody around you. Bitterness is a terrible thing. It's a continuing thing. It's a springing up thing. And it's something that, thank God this morning, God is able to deal with when you and I can't. You know, I was studying about this gourd. And it's interesting, the only other place in the Bible that a gourd is mentioned is over there in, I think it's 2 Kings. I didn't write it down, but first time gourds is mentioned in the Bible, I guess it's in the ministry of Elijah. They gathered a lap full of gourds, and they chopped them up, and they put them in a pot. And you remember they came back and they said, oh man of God, there's death in the pot. The gourds were poisoned. I got studying about this gourd, and it comes from a plant. It's a plant called the Palmer Christ. And it's where castor oil comes from. How many of you took castor oil when you was little? Somebody made you, they said it'd make you better. I don't know, I've never had it, but every Tom and Jerry cartoon I've ever seen where they take castor oil, it about kills them. Or the little rascals, you know. It's where castor oil comes from. Got to reading and studying about that. Do you know that plant that the castor bean comes from? Do you know it's poison? It's noxious to man. There's people been harvesting it. It damages the nervous system. It makes you sick. If you're overexposed to it, it could kill you if you had too much. It's got a toxin in it. It's poison. Jonah thought that was the greatest thing that ever was. God knew that if he left it there, that Jonah would become so associated with him that it'd make him sick. And I'm telling you, what you think's a blessing in your life, it might kill you, and God wants to get rid of it. Amen. God is willing to hurt you if it'll help you. And although it hurt Jonah for his little gourd to die, it's the best thing that could have happened to him. And so God sent a worm that killed the gourd before it killed Jonah. And when the Holy Ghost comes along to you and he's trying to cut that bitterness out of your life, it's to help you before it kills you. But there's the OMG of continuing bitterness in his life. Some things we may never understand why God let it happen. God, why'd you let that come into my life? I was talking with one of my preacher friends a while back, and I was talking with him about a hard situation that I did not understand. And he said to me at the last, he said, Brother Wynn, he said, I don't understand all of it, but he said, in the back of all of it, there's Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God knows. God knows what he's doing. We may not know what God's doing, but God knows what he's doing. He knows what to put into our lives. He knows when to take it out of our lives. And I thank him and praise him today that he knows what he's doing. Fourthly, this morning, and last of all, I want to show you one last thing. There's the OMG of the convinced believer. Now, I've already said verses 10 and 11 is God speaking. And God speaks to Jonah. Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons?" That's 120,000 people. Persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. That's toddlers. That's children. God said there's 120,000 children in there, and I want to save them. And God said this, and also much cattle. You think God cares about cattle? If he wants to, God said, I want to save them children. I want to save them from starving to death. There's cattle. There's things that I'm interested in, Jonah, and maybe you don't understand about it. And so the book just ends right there. No further explanation of what happened in Jonah's life or what happened to him. But I want to say this morning that I really believe that Jonah got his act together. I do. I believe Jonah got his heart right before it was all said and done. I believe if somebody had to come along, maybe even years after that, and ask Jonah about all the things that had happened to him, and even ask him about his gourd, I believe Jonah would have said something like that. I believe he'd have said, "Oh, my gourd? Yeah, God really used that gourd to show me some things." See, his attitude had changed altogether. "Oh, my gourd. My problem I had in my life, that great trial, when I got all mad and angry about, I want to tell you some things about my gourd." And so Jonah could have shared some things with anybody that would listen about the lessons of the gourd in his life. I believe one thing that gives us hope about Jonah's life this morning is that finally in Jonah's life, Jonah let God have the last word. God got the last word. No more arguments, no more excuses, no more self-justification or anything like that. Wouldn't it be good for us this morning if we just quit arguing with God and what he's doing in our lives and just let him have the last word? He just quit arguing with God. A lot of our problems in our lives, we're just going on around, endless, dead-end street, talking back, not submitting, not just letting God have the last final word in the matter. And Jonah finally just let God have the last word. And I believe Jonah learned that. I believe Jonah learned that God was sovereign. He said in verse number 10, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." God said to Jonah, "That's my gourd. I put it there. I made it grow. I prepared the worm. The worm cut it down. Jonah, you didn't have anything to do with it." God told Jonah, "I'm sovereign. I know what I'm doing. I had a purpose. I had a reason in what I was doing." Jonah learned that God was sovereign in his actions. And he can do what he wants when he wants. Romans chapter 9 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" Who are we to argue with the Lord? God's God. God's in control. God knows what he's doing. God knows the number of the hairs upon our head. And Jonah learned that God was sovereign. And Jonah learned something else. Jonah learned that God was merciful in verse number 11. God said, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? Where's all them children, all that cattle, all that people?" Jonah learned that God was merciful. God is merciful. God can even save our enemies if he wants to. And that shouldn't bother us. See, I'm not going all into it this morning, but That was part of Jonah's problem. He knew that according to Scripture, the Ninevites, the Assyrians would eventually, and they were already in the process of conquering the children of Israel. So Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to go to them. But I tell you, God can save our enemies if God wants to. And it's up to God. God's a merciful God, and we ought to praise Him for that. I believe maybe in later years, Jonah could have preached about, oh my gourd, maybe. He could have preached a message on that, I don't know, but maybe he could have said something like we find in Ezra 9:6, where the Bible says that Ezra said, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head. And our trespasses grown up into the heavens." You see how that could have been his text? Because his gourd grew up under the heavens, was increased. That all had to do with his heart problem there. But he said, "Oh my God, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed for the way I've acted. My trespasses before thee today." I want to say in this closing this morning, as we think about Jonah and his gourd, I want to ask the question today, or say that maybe God would send a worm to your gourd today and cut down in your life what's hindering you. What's holding your back? What you're arguing? What your hang-up is in your life? I don't know, but I'll tell you, I've had some gourds in my life. But I'd rather have God in my life. And say like the psalmist, "Oh my God, not oh my gourd." I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.